Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
Tyreek Evans is still a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. Tyreek Evans is still a member of the Memphis Grizzlies. Somehow, some way, this has occurred. If you had told me, Joe Mullen, site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues, if you had told me that the Grizzlies were going to trade a wing on the deadline, cool. Yep, that's going to happen. If you had told me that the Grizzlies were going to get a second round pick and a young player at the deadline, sure. Yeah, I could see that happening. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I thought was value for Tyreek Evans. But sure, at least they got something, would be my statement. At least they did something. At least they didn't get too cute. It was James Ennis that got Bryce Johnson, who isn't all that young, a second-round pick years from now from the Detroit Pistons. Tyreek Evans is still on the Memphis Grizzlies. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, and if you can't tell, I'm a little bit frustrated, but thankfully I have some friends and hopefully you, if you're listening live to our trade deadline extravaganza-palooza, you can help me try to comprehend and understand what's going on in Memphis Grizzlies front office, because I am starting to lose faith. And some of you are listening to this and you're saying, holy crap, just now? Now you're starting to lose faith? After Chandler Parsons and Jeff Green and all these other things went down, this is the move? For me, this is the move because it was a slam dunk. You trade the guy who's not likely to return to the Memphis Grizzlies because you can't afford him. And yet, here we are. I am still stunned and frustrated and shocked. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Brandon Connor, a great associate editor over at GBB with me. It's been a busy day over at the blog, as most folks can imagine. And I'm going to try to calm down, Brandon. Talk me off the ledge. First off, tell me how crazy I am that this is what has set me over the edge. That's a little bit crazy. We can be honest with each other. This is what does it for me for some reason.
Fire Chris Wallace. Fire Chris Wallace. Fire Chris Wallace. Fire Chris Wallace. No, to be honest, the decisions that they seem to have made so far this year had not been all that bad. Like, some of the draft picks that they made in the second round, Rab and Dylan Brooks, had looked like they were going to pan out. They decided to give up on Wade Baldwin. They decided to give up on Roddy Zagorich. They looked like they weren't going to, fall into the sunk cost fallacy and keep those guys on the roster just because of what they were paid and the draft capital that had been used. And so it looked like they were making good decisions. And then this comes, they sit Tyreek for a week just to keep him healthy so he can be traded, so he doesn't get hurt. And then they do nothing with him. Like, they just sit, play a game of chicken at the deadline, and then end up driving off the cliff. I mean, we've seen the offers that they received. Like, all of them were reasonable.
That's one of the worst parts. You don't have the leverage. You can put out all the leaks that you want, the hidden little, we're just going to stand pat. And then Boston says, we're just going to stand pat. Fine, that's fine. We're going to do that too. Fine. You don't have the leverage, Wallace, front office. You don't have it. Teams know you can't afford Tyreek Evans. You should be ecstatic with Emmanuel Mudiay and 2 second round picks. Are you kidding me? I'm not an NBA GM. That's not my job. I do this as my hobby, something I enjoy to do. People seem to like that I put write and do podcasts and things like that. This isn't my job. I wrote down, you should try to get a first-round pick. That's what you should try to do. Realistically, 2 second-rounders and Emmanuel Mudiay? Yeah, Emmanuel Mudiay sucks, but he's 21 years old. He's 21 years old. And now you have an expiring asset, a guy that you probably pissed off because you sat him a week ago. And now, what are you going to do? Oh, and by the way, if he comes back, Chris Wallace comes out to the media and talks to everybody, oh, everything's okay. Everything's fine. Guess what? Tyreke Evans is good at basketball. And the Memphis Grizzlies do not want to be good at basketball. That defeats the purpose of the lottery and the draft. And it's the main reason why Jeff Calkins called for the firing of Chris Wallace in his column today. Even more than not getting a first-round pick, the authorities should have been get rid of Tyreke Evans because he makes you too good. Because the main path for the Memphis Grizzlies to get franchise-changing talent is through the draft. Because you try and sign Chandler Parsons. Yeah, I like that signing. I'll always say that a healthy Chandler Parsons would have helped this team. But I'm not blind. I wrote an article earlier this week where I gave up on it. He could be a good NBA player, but he's not going to be that 6'10 dude with a ratchet that we all hoped he would be bridging those eras. That's not going to happen. So you're in the hole that you're in. The way you get franchise-changing talent is through the draft. And now, if Tyreke Evans plays a vast majority of the minutes, which he's probably going to do, the Grizzlies are going to be too good. And now you're looking at a 9th or 10th round pick in Kevin freaking Knox instead of somebody who could actually change your franchise, Brandon. That frustrates me immensely.
Well, look at it this way. You know, we still got Chris Wallace in charge. He was probably going to waste the draft pick no matter where it is. So, hey, let's look on the bright side here. We got the guy who can't seem to make the right decision, you know. Still got him. He's still in charge. He's still making decisions. And he's going to squander your draft pick no matter how high it is. So, you know, in the long run, does this really matter? Of course not.
Of course not. Of course it doesn't matter. And me sitting here and getting so frustrated, again, doing something that I truly enjoy. I love following the Grizzlies. I've lived in over almost 4 years now, and I just because I love it, and it's something I really do like to do. And yet here I am screaming because I'm frustrated. They hit a home run. I gave them credit for it on Grizzlies game night before the Jazz game. I gave them credit. They hit a home run with Tyreke Evans. You got to take advantage.
They bought a lottery ticket. The lottery ticket won, and then they didn't cash it in. It's like, look, we won. And then they just, I guess we'll try to re-sign this lottery ticket, you know, in the offseason. Good job. You just threw your winning ticket away.
And people that honestly think that here's something that really – grinds my gears, in the eternal words of Peter Griffin. You know, the idea that Tyreke Evans is going to choose the mid-level exception willingly before hitting the market, or there's some unwritten agreement between him and the Grizzlies that he's going to – that's not why he signed the original deal. That's not why he did it. He did it because he wants to test the market. Guess what? He's going to do that. And once he gets out on the open market, guess what? It only takes one team to offer him 2 years, $10 million, and he's gone. And then worst-case scenario, let's say the mid-level exception is what he gets. Lou Williams signed that with the Clippers. Cool. Lots of teams are going to be able to offer that to him. And look at what the Memphis Grizzlies have, and look at what the Miami Heat are going to have, or what the Philadelphia 76ers are going to have, or the Clippers, or some other team like that. It's not a conversation. Oh, but he loves Memphis. He loves it here. It's a dream world. It's a dream world. This is a business, and the players have every right to treat it that way. Tyreek Evans has earned every right to go out and try to maximize his value. The Grizzlies should have done the same, and today they didn't. They failed at that, and that's a massive problem, and it starts at the top. And to be honest with you, it starts with Robert Parra and the controlling ownership. It starts there. Chris Vernon said it himself. People give hell to Grind City Media, saying they're just an extension of the front office. Chris Vernon said, what the hell is going on? Who's running this? Is it Chris Wallace? Is it Macris? Is it a body? Who is running the show? Because right now it seems like it's a bunch of people who have no idea what's going on, no idea who makes the final call, and it's crippling this franchise. It's crippling the franchise when they have an opportunity to get some assets back. They missed an opportunity tonight, and that's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating, if you can't tell. Obviously, James Ennis III was traded today, too, and we'll get to all of that. We'll talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers kind of blowing everything up. We extended the show tonight. We're gonna go off kilter a little bit. Hopefully, you all can understand that with our with the craziness that has been the Memphis Grizzlies today. Ways to get in touch with the podcast at GBB Live would be one way to do it. Our Twitter handle for the show. You could follow us on Twitter, Brandon Ball from Grace at Ball from Grace. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax, and then of course, the blog that we both write for and are so passionate about, clearly, as I scream like a crazy person on a Thursday evening, is at SBN Grizzlies. Brandon, I'm going to get you to weigh in on this, and then we'll bring in our guests. Just out of curiosity, where do you stand moving forward? And obviously, this can be a little bit shorter as we bring in Mac and Matt. But looking at this team heading in, obviously, they have Oklahoma City the next couple of games, and then it's the All-Star break. What do you do with Tyreek Evans now? Do you try to waive him? That was the question of the day. We'll talk more about that. Do you try to waive him? Do you actually try to integrate him back into the team that he was sent away from a week ago? This is just so mind-boggling to me.
Well, that's the thing is, like, now you're just left with the question, do you play him and, you know, worsen your chance at getting a top 10 pick like you probably needed to moving forward? Or, I mean, if you end up buying him out, you just look worse for this. Like, what did this all serve if you're just going to pay for him to go away? You're going to buy out the rest of that, you know, $3 million salary. And so you end up looking even worse than you did before. And another thing that I don't understand is, like, you know, you could have had an agreement with Tyreek to come back for the mid-level exception. I mean, you could have done that even if you traded him. You could have gotten something for him. And then you could have said, like, hey, if the market – you know, a little tepid on you during the summer, just come back. We'll run it back again, and we'll give you another, you know, chance to do what you're doing. Like, trading him does not preclude you from signing him again, is what a lot of that argument is. And so I don't understand, like, the point of this. Like, keeping him around, the only thing that you're doing by keeping him around is if you gamble on him sticking with you for the mid-level exception, then, like, the chance, the one thing that you're getting out of that is if he comes back, you have early bird rights, and then you have a little bit more leverage with him. But that's it. Like, I don't understand what the point of this was. And now you're going to have to make a decision on, do you want to play him? Do you want to worsen your lottery odds? Are you just going to sit him for the rest of the year? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So you're either going to play him and worsen your draft pick, or you're going to buy him out and then look like even, like, less intelligent than you already are.
Wendell Carter. Oh, boy. We may not get the actual good power forward from Duke, the franchise changer, but we're going to get Wendell Carter. Miles Bridges, Michigan State. Woo! Kevin Knox. I'm telling you, I'm freaking stoked. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be great to watch these Grizzlies win games that they have no business winning because we can't make a trade to make the team in a better position to actually get game-changing talent. We're going to bring in our first guest here. Hopefully he's a lot calmer than me. Brandon is our voice of reason, if you can't tell. He is a great GrizzlyBearBlues.com contributor. Excited to have him back on the podcast. He's been on with us before. His name's Mac Trammell. Mac, I apologize for screaming like a crazy person into your ear there for a little while.
Nah, Joe, you're good. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear
yep.
you great.
All right, cool. You know, I'm kind of leaning with you, Joe. I'm pretty mad about this also. I mean, it just doesn't make any logical sense not to trade Tyreek.
Again, oh, but he wants to be here. Oh, he loves it here. What do you expect him to say? That drives me crazy. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. Kirk Cousins lied to this Washington Redskins fan base for years. Oh, I want to be here. I want to be here so much. As soon as the season ended, he and the team didn't talk contract once. Not one time. Kirk Cousins didn't want to be in Washington. But he's not going to go out and say, you know what, I hate this hellhole. This place sucks. That doesn't make you attractive. This is your job. You're going to be in a public place. You're going to say, you know what, I really like it here. I want to be here. I like it. This is terrific. Tyreek's going to do the same thing. But when the chips are down, and like I said, and people probably think I'm an ass for saying this, but it's true. Memphis, mid-level exception. Marcus Gasol, Mike Conley, maybe Chandler Parsons is healthy. Maybe the playoffs. Cool. Portland Trailblazers, mid-level exception. Little bit more attractive. Memphis Grizzlies, mid-level exception. Oh, that's where I went to school there. Oh, I like it there. It's fun. Philadelphia 76ers, mid-level exception. Those are just two examples. There's going to be multiple good teams, multiple teams that are better than the Memphis Grizzlies, Mac, that are going to have that mid-level exception, and they're going to use it probably on Tyreek Evans just like the Grizzlies would. And gee gosh golly, he likes it here, but he's going to do what's best for him professionally, like 99% of other rational professionals would.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. And, I mean, that's assuming that he's just going to get the mid-level exception. I mean, that's not even saying that he would get possibly more than that from another suitor, maybe from some sort of bad team that's looking to get immediately better or something like that. And you mentioned, like, he says he wants to be here. Of course he does, because he's a professional and he values his value, his brand. Look at what happened with Eric Bledsoe when he said he didn't want to be there anymore. His value dropped. The franchise, you know, Phoenix just put him on the bench on the sideline, and he got traded for basically nothing. I mean, he did end up going to the place that he wanted to go, but it didn't affect – I mean, it affected his brand negatively. So, I don't know. Of course Tyreek says he likes it here, and there's reports that his brothers, you know, they confirm or whatever, but I don't know, man. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense. It's no sense. Back on that idea as well. Because you are – and I think there is something to this. And again, I catch flack for this sometimes. But when you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan and you live in Memphis and you're in that bubble and that's all you consume and the Grizzlies are the only major professional team in town, you get this idea that there's an aspect of the culture that people, Memphis. Why would anybody ever leave Memphis? Memphis is great. And Memphis is great. I'm not taking that away. But you have to have a larger perspective, especially from these professional athletes, that, yeah, Memphis is fun, and there's a great spirit to the city. I loved my time in Memphis, but if you're a professional basketball player, there's probably some cities that you would look at as destinations and say, I might want to play there instead of Memphis, Tennessee. And that's
well,
not anything.
Like Miami,
that's the
LA?
Reason that Chandler Parsons is the biggest free agent signing in the history of the Memphis Grizzlies, a dude who turns out, joke's on us, bad knees. But he was the biggest free agent signing in the history of this organization. You know why? Because it's Memphis, Tennessee, and NBA players don't see it as a destination. I'm not saying anything that should blow anybody's mind, Brandon.
Well, that's the thing. And then if you're going to say he's got Memphis has an advantage because maybe he went to school here and he liked it here. I mean, that's true. But he's also – if the Sixers come with cap space, I think he's originally from there. So there's another team that has, like, an inherent advantage that you don't. And so, I mean, if he wants to take the money, then good for him. That's fine. But the Grizzlies have no one to blame but themselves for this. Like, whatever Tyreek chooses to do, whether it's, you know, a wink, wink, nod, nod, I'll come back deal, or if it's go and chase the money, like, that's his prerogative. He has the right to do that. Wouldn't say anything negative about him for doing that. But the Grizzlies have put themselves into just a terrible situation with what they've done here.
It's unbelievable to me. It really is. Because here's the other thing, all right? And we're going to bring Matt Hardlicka onto the show here momentarily. But I want to make this point. I want to get your guys' take on it. Before we get too far in, I'm on basketballreference.com. I love this website, as most folks who follow the NBA and do this blogging thing that we all do. Most people like this this is a good website. let's talk about Tyreek Evans, okay? Let's talk about Tyreek. This is the first time that Tyreek has scored over 12 points a game in four seasons. This is the first time in four seasons that Tyreek has scored over 12 points a game. First time in his career, that he has posted, or excuse me, second time in his career, that he has posted 20 points, and he's not even quite at 20. I'm rounding up. He's at 19.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. This is the second time in his career that he has done that. The other time was his rookie season, 2009-2010. This is a guy who has had injury concerns. He's played more games this season as a Memphis Grizzly than he did as a Sacramento King last year, than he did as a New Orleans Pelican. He played 40 total games in 2016-2017. He played 25 total games in 2015-2016 due to injury. Spoiler alert, he's playing for a contract. He's playing for a contract. And he should be. Again, not taking a thing away from Tyreek Evans. He should be playing for a contract. This is his livelihood. He's a professional athlete. There's a finite amount of time that he is able to make money. Go get the money. Do what's best for you and yours, man. But the Memphis Grizzlies did not do that. They saw a guy who put up a very good season, and they're not looking at the big picture. History tells us that this is an outlier. It tells us it's an outlier. So why don't you take advantage when his value is at its peak? Do you see him doing this consistently for the rest of his career? Let's say the Grizzlies sign him, Mac. Let's say the Grizzlies sign him to a 3-year mid-level exception, okay? $24, $25, $26 million, whatever it might be, in the summer. Do we really believe that Tyreek Evans is going to be able to do this for three consecutive seasons or close to this for three consecutive seasons? Because he hasn't done that in 4 years. And he's only going to get older,
yeah.
Right, Mac?
No, yeah. I mean, what you're thinking, right, is that he's 28 years old right now, if I remember correctly. So he's in his physical prime, and you would have to just hope that he treats every year like he's treating this year. And, I mean, I hadn't even thought about the fact that it's a contract year. You're totally right. He is playing for a contract. This is like a classic J.R. Smith scenario where you just amp up your game for 1 year so you can get the money, and then you can kind of slough off for the next few years. I don't want to accuse Tyreek of doing that because, I mean, he's played great. It's clearly the best season of his career. Like you mentioned, with all of those stats, plus if you look at his advanced stats on Basketball Reference, they're some of the best of his career as well. And he's shooting so much better. He's playing much more efficiently. And that's kind of why you would think, right, that maybe this isn't just an outlier performance. Maybe he's not just chucking the ball and making – he's actually shooting better than normal. But he is kind of in that mold of a player, a score-first guard, kind of like I said, J.R. Smith in a way, who would really – he can just kind of step it up on a year-by-year basis and get that contract year. So – I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't even considered that. But I don't want to accuse Tyreek of sandbagging for 3 years and then playing great in 1 year, you know?
Well,
I mean, the idea of
it's not an accusation. It's just an acknowledgement that he is playing for something. He wants that committed money, and he wants as much of it as he can, and he should. I'm not critiquing Tyreek for that at all. I'm just talking about making sure that we understand what the history of his career is, Brandon.
Well, I mean, and the idea of a contract year isn't, like, new, and it's not something, you know,
right.
Like, it's not something exclusive to Tyreek. He's not the only person. Like, you have other athletes who, you know, their contract's up. They have, like, great seasons. Like, DeMarcus Lawrence for the Cowboys this year had a great season. He's a free agent after this. Like, guys do that. When it's time to make their money, they tend to perform harder, and that's just – It makes sense, and you can't blame him for it. It's just a fact of life, and so I think the injury question is a really good point because this team has committed so many. Like you've got Mike, who's having foot surgery, who's out for the rest of the season. You've got Mark, who's still. I mean, he came back from that foot injury, and he's still. I guess you'd still consider him an injury risk. You've got Chandler Parsons. You've had Brandon Wright, who's had been on and off. You've had Wayne Selden now miss a bunch of games with, you know, a right quad injury. You've had so many guys go in and out. Why are you focusing all your attention on a guy who has had a career that's just filled with injuries? Like, you need to find someone healthy. One person who can stay on the court for a full season, please. Like,
That isn't Dylan Brooks.
Is like the only, he's the only, they finally found somebody. I think Rab had a concussion. So he's had issues. So everybody that they draft or everybody that they bring in, apart from Dylan Brooks, just injury concerns everywhere. So I just don't understand why you look at this guy as history, you say he's finally having a good season. Do you really expect that when several seasons before you've seen him go out and miss tons of games? Like, I don't think you can rely on this year as your basis going forward when he's had such a history. I don't know what else to say. Like,
Let's bring in our other guest, and I'm excited to have him back on the podcast, formerly of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. He's one of the brightest writers out there. I have tremendous respect for him, look up to him as a writing talent, very bright. He does a great job with his Patreon page now, and we will be sure to tweet that out throughout the show here. But we're excited to have him back on the podcast, Mr. Matt Hardlicka. Matt, hopefully you're going to bring some sanity to these proceedings, because Brandon and Mac are a lot calmer than me. I'm just ranting like a crazy person.
Well, I come with more than sanity. I come with good news.
Good news. Here we go.
The Orlando Magic just beat the Atlanta Hawks by 5 points.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They are now tied with the Memphis Grizzlies in the tankathon.
Terrific.
Well, where's Atlanta now?
Atlanta's still really bad.
Shocking.
I guess,
guys,
that's a great place to start, Matt.
I've enjoyed listening to you guys. I've enjoyed listening to you guys. And honestly, I don't know if I can add much, because you guys have said quite a bit.
Well, I think you make an interesting point there. And we haven't talked about this as much yet, coming from the Tyreek Evans angle. You look at the standings of the Tankathon at tankathon.com, and you see a race for the bottom, because you have literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams all within two losses of each other in terms of in the NBA lottery. In a place where – and Grizzlies fans who have been around for a while, and full disclosure, I'm not one of them. I came on board in 2010 as the grit and grind era began. This is my first experience with a tanking team, quote unquote, which obviously they're not, because they didn't trade their best player. God, so stupid. But anyway, we're looking at this, and it's a situation where this is a real opportunity for them to get a franchise-changing talent. And you look around the NBA, now that Tyreek Evans is locked in as a Memphis Grizzly, unless they waive him, which we'll talk more about here in a moment as well. Here we are, golden opportunity. The Grizzlies simply aren't bad enough, are they, Matt? They're not bad enough to get this done now.
Yeah, I don't think they were bad enough even if they had traded Tyreek. Like, they've kind of sort of turned a corner after losing all those games in a row. And, you know, they're getting better play from basically all the young guys. I mean, it was a really low bar, but, Wayne Selden coming back has been big, and he's improved a little bit. Jarrell Martin has improved from being downright unplayable to being, like, you know, slightly above downright unplayable. But, like, you know, they pulled out of it. And even if they had traded Tyreek for nothing, like in terms of like production, they would still probably be, you know, outside of the top five worst teams. But I mean, now, depending on what they do with him the rest of the way, which I think, I don't think they're going to waive him, but I think not the worst case, but I mean, yeah, we're looking at top 10 pick, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9, something like that. Six is probably the lowest I could see them being seated personally.
We had Gary Parrish on the show earlier this year, and we talked to Gary about the importance of being in that top five or six picks, because that's really where your franchise-changing talent was, whether it was Luka Doncic, whether it was Trae Young, obviously a Marvin Bagley. People would maybe include a Jaren Jackson in there now. He's climbing up draft boards. In fact, looking at Tankathon as we speak, as we record this, they have the Grizzlies selecting fifth, taking Jaren Jackson out of Michigan State. And there's a lot of talent in those top five or six picks, but once you get down to eight or nine, it starts to slim out, whether it's a Mikal Bridges, a Wendell Carter. You know, it's not that they're bad players. It's just that the talent disparity is pretty drastic, according to Gary. So that is why it is so important. And I think that fans miss this, and it's the tanking argument. Now you're not really in a position to, if you sit Tyreke Evans the rest of the season, you're tanking. He's on your roster. You're doing your best to have him not on the floor. If you had traded Tyreke Evans for 2 second-round picks and Emmanuel Mudiay, yes, the team just got worse, but Emmanuel Mudiay can go out there and play his darndest and be not as good as Tyreke Evans, and the Grizzlies are still going to lose, even with the young players and Mark and Brandon Wright and Mario Chalmers doing their very best. That's the difference in this tanking conversation that I feel like some people just don't get, and now it makes it that much harder to get to that placemat.
Yeah, well, I mean, the sneaky thing about them, it seems like if they turned down Emmanuel Mudiay, they just didn't want to take back any. I think they looked at it as, we don't want to take back any long-term salary. And you guys talked a lot about the mid-level exception, and basically, like, if depending on where their pick comes in, the higher salary was attached to it, it starts to get sort of dicey about using the full MLE and taking back any long-term salary. But the reason they can't take back any long-term salary is because they literally set money on fire this offseason by signing Ben McLemore. So if anybody ever tells you that you cannot overpay a $5 million player, just remind them that that $5 million player literally cost the Grizzlies a first round pick just now.
Oh, ooh. God, I was starting to calm down, Matt, and then he reminded me that they didn't use the stupid mid-level exception right this past offseason. God dang it. Oh, Matt.
Ben McLemore, I keep forgetting that Ben McLemore is on the roster because he's not playing. Oh. And then someone mentions him, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah, that
remember
guy.
Remember when he tried the 360 dunk?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, the memories of this season are just going to stick with me forever. I tell you what, it's highlight after highlight. You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm one of your co-hosts, Joe Mullinax. My other co-host, Brandon Connor. We're joined by two guests, doubling it up this week in our trade deadline special, or on our trade deadline special. Grizzly Bear Blues writer Mac Trammell. Follow him if you don't already do so on Twitter at Mac_TRAMMELL. Did I get that right, Mac?
Yes, sir.
I always worry about leaving out an M or an L. Excellent. Okay, so we got Mac, and then obviously Matt Hardlicka. He's been on the show plenty of times. His return, make sure you're following him on Twitter at The Real HRDLICKA. Gentlemen, we are looking at a team that obviously kept Tyreke Evans, but we are leaving somebody out, and we don't want to let this podcast go without a shout out to James Ennis, a player who was probably underutilized here with the Grizzlies. He's kind of a casualty of the system that the Grizzlies ran. When you watched him play as a stretch four, getting up and down the floor when the Grizzlies did try to pick up the pace in limited spurts, that really seemed like that was the time that he shined. They trade James Ennis to the Detroit Pistons for a second-round pick down the road in Bryce Johnson, which, by the way, is another thing that frustrates me, because now we have literally seven bigs on the roster. However they view Bryce Johnson long-term, that's fine. But at the same time, just a quick shout-out to James Ennis, and I'll start with you, Mac. What did you think about James Ennis's time as a Grizzly?
Well, I would say that he was kind of underutilized, I think, especially this year. And, like, if I have it right, we had him do a 10-day, let him go, then New Orleans picked him up, became a free agent, and we signed him back again. The whole kind of love affair with him that's just sort of soured, I guess, is kind of been, I don't know, Shakespearean almost. But, yeah, I think he's an okay 3-and-D player. He'll hit a corner three for you every now and then. He'll play some lockdown D, but offensively he doesn't give you that much. I think that and stop me if I'm getting too far ahead of what you want to talk about, Joe, but with this trade, I don't understand why this didn't precipitate a Brandon Wright trade, right? Because you're getting Bryce Johnson back in this trade, who is essentially like a young version of Brandon Wright. He's long, a kind of a rim runner, maybe a rim protector, rebound kind of guy like Wright. Wright's on an expiring deal. He's also not in the rotation like James Ennis. So it signaled that Brandon Wright was going to be shipped off, and then now he's not. So I didn't. That was just another instance of this front office not making sense. If you guys want to go back to Ennis stuff, please go ahead. But I just felt like I needed to get that out there as well.
No, please. I think that's good. What are your takes on that, Brandon?
Yeah, I think we talked so much about like kind of the guys that should have been traded come the deadline, and we thought they would make several different package deals and try to piece together contracts. But I think we've just got the fact that Tyreek wasn't dealt has just become such a huge talking point just because of how monumental a mistake it was that like we kind of forget about the other parts that they could have moved. And I don't know necessarily that they would have amounted to much if you could have like gotten, you probably would have ended up with a bunch of late second round picks for them. You're basically just shedding salary at that point. But I think I'm kind of surprised they didn't try to package more players. I think you could have moved Jarrell. You probably could have moved Brandon. You could have moved, if the right package came along, you probably could have traded Andrew Harrison, although I would have hated that. I'm actually surprised they didn't do more at the deadline instead of just like even Tyreek aside. I'm surprised they didn't try to get rid of some of the expiring deals that they had other than Ennis.
That's an interesting point. I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Matt, what did you think they were going to move anybody else, or there was anybody else that you thought they could have gotten rid of?
Yeah, I just think that they couldn't get anything for Wright. Like, I don't think anybody, especially if you're not going to take on any long-term salary, then you're trading an expiring for an expiring, and what does that do for the other team? I mean, Wright has barely played in 3 years, so what is his value if you're not going to – you got to solve another team's problem. So if your solution is here is a guy who makes $6 million who doesn't play, but when he does play, he's okay, but he also needs a ball handler to throw him lobs because he literally cannot do anything else. And it's like, what problem are you solving for them, you know? So, I mean, once it kind of became clear that they weren't going to take on salary, then Wright is just not going to get moved. I mean, Ennis got moved for basically a worthless player who has never played, in Bryce Johnson and a second-round pick. But the reason that deal happened was because he was an expiring deal. He literally – I mean, they did to him what a team did to – God, I can't remember that guy's name. They declined his option. So, like, he couldn't – the Grizzlies can't even pay him more than one-point-something million. Like, it's outlawed by the CBA because his rookie option was declined. So, you know, the team kind of if you're not going to take on long-term salary, then the only thing you can do is trade Tyreek. And clearly – I mean – do you guys remember that old picture of Joe Dumars holding two phones up to his head? Like, why even Joe Dumars knew to have two phones? Like, Chris Wallace is like, I just can't understand how you don't have a safety school, like a backup plan. If you just can't, I get that nobody wanted to give him a first round pick. I get that, but it's just like you had to make a deal. And everybody else was just waiting for Memphis to lower their price, and it never happened. So,
and Chris Harrington brought up an interesting point, and I wrote about this a little bit earlier this week too, but he said it much better than I. As much as we're knocking the front office of the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think deservedly so, Tyreek Evans is still a Memphis Grizzly with the fact that there were two second-round pick and Emmanuel Mudiay or various deals that would have been fine. But if you're the Boston Celtics, for example, and the Grizzlies want a first-round pick from you, It's probably going to be in the late first round, 25 to 30. They want that and some random young player at the end of your bench. It's not going to help you in the next two or three years. You still have so many assets. I talked about earlier with the contract year and the health concerns and all those things. And maybe they decided that wasn't worth it for them to give up that level of a pick. But I do think there's two sides to this coin in that, come on, man. You're not going to give up the 28th overall pick for a guy who's averaging 25-5, even if it's an expiring contract, even if you don't want him to be on your team long-term because of those long-term concerns. In the here and now, Tyreek Evans could be a sixth man on a championship team. I do think that's accurate. I think that's possible. But he's eating up stats on a bad team right now. You put Tyreek Evans on the Boston Celtics or the Golden State Warriors or the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he scores 14 or 15 a game off the bench, that's extremely valuable. You limit his minutes. You try to find him places where he doesn't hurt you as much defensively. There is positivity there in those moments. I feel like Boston kind of missed a step here, Matt.
I mean, yeah, I agree totally. I mean, on its face, Tyreek is worth that. And I mean, I wrote a whole post maybe a couple weeks ago when this whole thing was sort of gearing up that basically a lot of teams are going to screw up if they just aren't going to do this. But almost every single trade I constructed had the Grizzlies taking back a little bit of salary, you know?
Sure.
Just a little bit. And if you take that completely off the table, then you're removing a ton of options. And teams that know that you're not going to fix that problem for them, just they're going to stop calling. And then Boston, we've seen them go down. Ainge has gone down to the wire and done and been fine doing nothing. Like basically every trade deadline for the past millennium. Like he just doesn't – he's always in the news, and then he doesn't do anything. And then, you know, finally he goes and trades for Kyrie Irving out of the blue this offseason. I mean, every deadline comes down to a game of chicken with Danny Ainge. So, I mean, at a certain point, you should have a safety score. You should have a plan B. And, you know, we know how that turned out.
Yeah, it's worked out really well for the Grizzlies. I tell you what, it's just unbelievable. The perspective of or the perception of this is just so awful to me, Mac. You weren't willing to back down, you know, and I think that there's something backing down maybe isn't the best way to put it, but you got to know when you don't have the winning hand, the old Kenny Rogers gambler, know when to hold him, know when to fold him. You have to get something for him, Mac, and I just think they really missed the boat there. If Boston's going to be hard-headed, and we knew Danny Ainge was that way from the beginning, if you were – you just got to get – and they were willing to give something. So was Denver, and so was Washington, and all these other teams, Philadelphia, and you just didn't take it. I know Wallace is supposedly talking to the media in the next day or so, or he's going to put out a statement, something like that. It's going to have a pretty good explanation. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that all we think we can re-sign him is enough.
Yeah, it's totally mind-boggling. I'm with you 100%. Like, just basic logic just mandates that you get something of value for something that you're not going to have value for anymore if you have, like, value for it. I know I use value a lot of times right there. That's kind of redundant. But
value.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, even my little brother, who doesn't pay attention to the NBA, texts me today. He's like, why the heck did we not trade Tyreek Evans? Like, even he understands the basic concept of trying to get something for not nothing, but while you still have it. Like, it makes no sense. But I want to respond to something you said earlier about Boston being inflexible with their first-round pick, right? I think Matt hit the nail on the head with this. Danny Ainge, he's totally comfortable with not doing anything. He's very comfortable with what he's got right now. He has a young team that's probably set up to compete for a long time. He doesn't need to make a move necessarily this year to continue being in contention. It's not like their window is closing anytime soon, like if they were the Cavs. And traditionally, right, if a team makes a deal at the deadline, that player doesn't really do enough to put them over the top, to even get them into the next round, to get them past that behemoth or get to the finals. And oftentimes a player will come in and it'll take some time for that guy to gel, to get used to the new scenario. So if I'm Danny Ainge, like, I totally get from their perspective why they didn't want to give up so much. What I don't get is Chris Wallace not being willing to budge. I think there's something to be said, right, for standing up for what you believe in or whatever, you know, standing up for saying we are only going to take this amount and you can take it or leave it. But once nobody else takes it, then you just look like an idiot with nothing.
Yeah, I understand that completely. Before we start taking some callers, Brandon, you on that?
No, I think I'm good. I think basically Chris Wallace was listening to Chandler Parsons. You know, Chandler Parsons told Mark Cuban, you know, max or nothing. And Chris Wallace called up Danny Ainge and said, first round pick or nothing, MF-er. And then, you know, drove off, and that was it.
Right. Drove off into the sunset. Well, we have some folks on hold. This is your opportunity if you're listening to the show live. And if you're listening to the archive podcast, first off, thank you. Thank you for listening. But if you're listening live, we thought this would be a cathartic opportunity, a chance for us as a community at Grizzly Bear Blues to come together, and whether you want to vent, whether you want to cry, maybe you want to ask a question of Matt or Brandon or Mac, you want to tell me to calm down, tell me to shush, everything's going to be okay, maybe hold me so gently over the radio, whatever your plan is for your call, by all means, we welcome it. As we continue on here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live, this is the people's show the rest of the way. We're trying to get calls in. We want your take on these Grizzlies. This first call here has been on hold, believe it or not, for almost 40 minutes, guys. 40 minutes, much appreciated. Thank you for holding on here. 731 area code, you are live on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. How are you doing?
Hey, fellas, how are y'all?
Hey, how's it going? Who are we talking to?
This is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going? Thanks for calling in. What do you got to say about all this craziness, man?
Man, it is – I think it's a travesty that no deal was done today by the deadline. Tyreke Evans getting sent home last week, a guy in a contract year who you're not allowing to play, and then you do him no well and don't trade him, especially when he thinks he's going to a playoff contender. Now he's got to come back to Memphis and finish out the year with the Grizzlies with no incentive of getting any more money playing there. And I just don't know how a deal didn't go down. I mean, you've had several weeks to get deals done. I know you've got to play a waiting game up until the deadline, but a deal's got to be done, especially after all that's been done. So
Let me ask you this, Ryan. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, man.
Okay, Ryan, let me ask you this, okay? Put yourself in Tyreke's shoes here, all right? Let's kind of work through this a little bit. And if you were to come back to the team, how would you respond? Because, again, obviously he's a professional. He's expected to go back to work. But you essentially were sent away from work for so much time, and now you're brought back. How do you think that's going to go? Do you think that's going to be a seamless transition, or do you think there's going to be some issues there?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be somewhat of a transition, but for him to have to come back into that situation, and people now think, oh, they have a better shot of re-signing this offseason, although they can offer the same money. You guys have been over this several times. But if you're Tyreke Evans and you look at this organization, what makes you want to come back to it? I mean, they sit you out, not play you when you're having arguably the best year of your career in a contract year. You don't play. Then they end up not trading you and expect you to come back, or who knows? I mean, obviously we don't know anything yet if he's going to come back. Hopefully he does and plays well, but the Grizzlies will still lose for the tank. But I don't see how you look at it as a positive if you're Tyreke.
I don't see how you do it either. Gentlemen, anybody else have anything for Ryan here?
No, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Ryan's the man. I appreciate that. Thank you, Ryan. I got to tell you, that's got to be weird, right, Matt? That's got to be weird. Oh, we're just going to send you home for no good reason. Oh, we're trying to trade you, but you can't sit on the bench. You can't be a part of the team. We're just sending you home. That's pretty tough, you know. And then you go from that to being in this place here. That's complicated, right? I just don't see how this is going to go very smoothly. How do you see all this kind of unfolding, Matt?
I mean, his check's still clear, so I wouldn't be too upset.
you're right.
I came up with an amazing conspiracy theory about why Boston didn't trade a first round pick. So Boston has the Grizzlies' first round pick next year. It's top eight protected. If we get a first round pick from them, we could, in theory, trade it for a good player and give them a worse pick. So this is all just Ainge screwing with the Grizzlies and making sure that we stay bad. That's all it is.
Maybe it is. There's a real possibility there. We got another caller on hold, a 901, a Memphis area code. Let's see what they're up to. Welcome to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Who are we talking to?
This is the Unk.
The Unk. Oh, we got the Unk on the line. Unk, how's it going?
The Unk is displeased.
The Unk is displeased. Please give us your information and your insights, oh gracious Unk.
I have no real insights to the situation. All I can say is this is an unmitigated shit show, and we look like the complete laughingstock of the National Basketball Association. We furthermore have disrespect a great player and a great man, Tyreek Evans. Tyreek cannot trust the front office of the Memphis Grizzlies, nor should anybody else, because they're fucking morons.
It's pretty tough, Unc. It's pretty tough. I tell you what would you do if you were running the front office, Unc, in your greatest wisdom?
I would tar and feather Chris Wallace.
All right, that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough.
And you do realize the Unk is being polite.
Yes, I do gather that. I know that you can be very, very angry, especially towards NBA officials. Although you're trying to be better with that. Do you have any other insights for any, you know, Brandon, Mac, Matt? We appreciate you calling in, Unk. Anything else you got?
The only individual at present that I dislike more than Chris Wallace is Mark Davis.
Why, Unk?
You saw the game the other night.
I did.
Why did
that
you
is
toss
true.
Dylan Brooks with 20 seconds left? Come on, guys. Come on.
Despite
all of this bad news, the Unk does send his kind greetings to you all on this fine evening.
Unk, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for calling in, Unk. It's awesome that you're joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you, Unk.
Good evening, all.
Oh, man, there goes the Unk. Gentlemen, we were just graced by the presence of the Unk. I think that's pretty special right there.
Nobody told me that the Unk sounded like the lead from the S-Town pod.
Maybe that's what he was going for. I don't know. Well, what do you think, Mac? Have you ever talked to the Unk before?
I haven't. He was remarkably composed and very verbose. I liked
it. I
also agree with his
had some running with me in
well,
the past. I was kind of nervous that the Unk was going to say the only person I dislike more than Chris Wallace is me. So I'm glad that he
I
went
to
the Mark Davis.
I know. I was getting nervous.
Yeah, that was a sentence where you're just holding your breath about where it's going to go.
Oh, man, the calls keep coming in. We're getting through this together, guys. This is what it's all about at Grizzly Bear Blues and Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We're a community here, and it's awesome to have folks calling in. The Unk just called in. That made the whole freaking show, and I need to get a buzzer. I need to get one of those. That's okay. We're a podcast. Who gives a damn? Let's go to our next guest here, 901, another 901 area code. You are on with Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Who are we talking to?
Hey, can you hear me?
Hello. Yeah, we can hear you. Who are we talking to?
This is Jesse.
Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. Just heading the way home. Thought I'd give y'all a call. I'm a little late to the podcast. Driving out of the parking lot. Thought I'd give y'all a call.
Oh, I appreciate that. What do you think about all this craziness, Jesse?
It's pretty bananas. In my circle of friends, I'm kind of the basketball guy. And around 2 o'clock, which unfortunately I had scheduled a meeting, my phone detonated. And I pretty much can't express how really frustrated and angry I was in that moment. And it's hard to explain. It requires a lot of incompetence to fumble a ball like that.
Yeah, it's a special level. I would agree with that. What would you, if you were in Chris Wallace's shoes, Jesse, if you were in the place where you had to make that kind of step back and say, okay, we'll take the 2 seconds, or Emmanuel Mudiay, or a combination of both, whatever it might have been, are you on board with the idea they had to get something for him, or are you okay with the idea that he's here because the price was just not met?
No, I'm not even on that same island. Tyreke Evans has kind of shown us who he is. A constant injury threat, which, again, you can draw value from in certain off seasons, but you kind of already have 2 dramatic siphons on your money on people who are usually injured. And Tyreke Evans is going to demand a lot of money. Let's say best value. Let's say he agrees to an 8.5 MLE. He demands all 3 years, which is around like 25.5. He's probably going to demand more than that. But so let's pretend he accepts that from Memphis. You have demanded 25.5 from a player who is notoriously injured, with a player like Chandler Parsons, who unfortunately the reality is he's going to be a bust, with 2 more years of his like depressing value. And best case scenario, Mike Conley plays 60 more games. You have a lineup which is dramatically debilitated. Where otherwise, if you accept that, oh, hey, we're trading Tyreke, we're going to get 2 second rounders for him. And if you believe that stature that he's going to sign if he likes it, it doesn't damage you at all. So you can still have that deal and 2 round picks of cheap contracts. It really doesn't make sense in any form or fashion. And that was what was really frustrating. It
feels like a missed opportunity. You're exactly right, Jesse. Jesse, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
All right,
peace
there
out,
goes Jesse. I mean, the frustration's clear. You've heard the Unk, you've heard Jesse, you've heard other fans calling into the show. They share our frustration, guys. They share our pain, our mutual suffering. And this is making me feel better. I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling a lot better after doing this.
I don't know. I still feel pretty bad.
Oh, dang it, Matt. We're trying to come together here right now. This is a healing moment, and you're ruining it. But that's okay. If I'm being honest, I'm kind of faking it. I still feel pretty bad, too, because people are making a good point. The fan, the blogger, the Unk, everybody sees that this is such a just a crappy thing, and it's really infuriating. We got another call, another person on hold, 973 area code. You're on with us here at Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Who are we chatting to?
Hi, my name is Liam. I'm a Celtics writer with RezArmy.com. I'm friends with a lot of Grizzlies fans, Exactly, yeah. I'm a person who wanted to take Tyreke from you and was not able to, and I feel your pain from the opposite perspective. I get it, man.
Do you think the Celtics should have given up their first round pick? It's going to be in the late first round anyway.
Yes, or any number of the other first round picks they had, because they had that Clippers pick, which it's going to be a first rounder no matter what. It just depends on where it converts. And then your own pick, which, sorry, about the whole Jeff Green debacle. But,
would you give us that pick back?
Me personally, I mean, probably.
Yeah, yes.
Just because there's so goddamn many of them.
That's the point. You have so many picks. You couldn't give us one.
Yeah.
You couldn't give us one Danny Ainge.
I'm not rude. I'm like, I may be a minority of the fan base because the Grizzlies are my side piece team. I have T-shirts for two teams, Celtics and Grizzlies. So, but
appreciate what, even though we're what, on the side.
Liam, what did you think of the reported offer that was out? What did you think of that? What are your thoughts on? Is it Gershon Yabusele?
Yeah, it was Yabu and two second rounders. I mean, given that, what did the Magic gave up for Elfrid Payton? What Phoenix gave up for Elfrid Payton? One second rounder? Is that right? Like, that's ridiculous.
Hours.
Oh,
from
yeah.
From the Troy Daniels trade. Thanks a lot.
This is amazing. This is so amazing.
This is supposed to be helping. You're not helping anymore.
I was trying.
Go back to the part where you gave us back our first round pick.
Yeah, let's go back to the 2019 first that you were going to give us. So clearly you probably think that Gabu and those two second rounders probably would have been fair for Tyreek, right?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, man.
Even if it's a rental, because sometimes you got to do that. You got to at least kick the tires on a rental and see what happens.
Especially with the craziness that is the Cleveland Cavaliers. I really thought when the Cavs started blowing everything to hell today that the Celtics were going to lock in to try to get Tyreek. I thought that was going to happen, but it just wasn't meant to be. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate the Celtics' perspective, and we're okay with being your side piece. So thanks for that.
All right. No worries.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks, Liam.
Oh, man. I tell you what, we're we might be the side piece of the NBA. Is that fair to say, guys? I feel like I talk to fans all the time. They're like, oh, yeah, I love the Grizzlies. I watch my league pass. But they're Lakers fans or Knicks fans. I feel like we're everybody's kind of guilty pleasure in a way.
We're the hipster choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe
Grizzlies,
that's a better
man,
way.
I like this.
That's interesting. I didn't think about it like that, but you're right. Oh, who's your favorite NBA team? The Grizzlies, man. Like, the Grizzlies? Like, the Grizzlies even
I
have
liked
an
them
NBA
before
team?
They were grit and grind.
It's almost patronizing.
See, you're offended.
A little bit, yeah. It's like, oh,
why are
I'm a
you
fan
offended?
Of, like, the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Knicks. Oh, how about this roughshod hillbilly team, the Grizzlies? Like, step off, man.
Yeah,
it's
I
somebody
really
saying, "Oh, I prefer playing with this rusty oil can and nails over here."
Oh man, we have one more caller on the line here. We'll end it with this. It's a 615 area code, so I think I know who this is. Welcome to Grizzly Bear Blue Live. Who are we talking to?
Hey, it's Keith.
Keith, fast break breakfast own Keith. Welcome, Keith, to
podcast
the
podcast collide.
Yes.
Oh, Keith, where do we even begin, my friend? I got to tell you, this has just been an extremely long day, and I feel like I've either alienated or frustrated or, you know, I tweeted in caps a lot from the main account, which you're not supposed to do, and I still have a job, which is good, but it's been a tough day for me, Keith. I hope that you feel sorry for me listening to the pain in my voice.
I sympathize. Yeah, I feel bad for you. I mean, this has been an awful day. Like, I'm at one of my darkest Grizzlies moments. Like, I can't remember the last time I was this angry with the Grizzlies. I want to say it was that Game 7 against the Thunder where there was no Z-Bo and still Ed Davis and James Johnson got DMPs. So I think that was like 5 years, 6 years. I don't know. It was a long time ago. I'm very mad, very frustrated. Sitting and watching the trade deadline go past, it was like when I have my Grizzly season tickets on StubHub listed for 15% of their value, and no one's buying them, and then it's tip off, and it's like, well, there's another, you know, X number of dollars down the drain. Thanks, Grizzlies.
Oh, man, it's just tough. And again, you're somebody who, you're outside of Memphis, not too far in the Nashville area, and people don't understand when you look at this team and you compare them, and you also do a podcast that focuses on the national side of things just as much as the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
If Tyreek Evans hits the open market, it's not like he's going to feel all warm and fuzzy about Memphis and choose that over Miami, or Los Angeles or New York. You got to live in the real world a little bit here, right?
That's what makes it so incredibly frustrating is when you talk to other NBA fans, if you just randomly interact with other people, you know, other podcast hosts, other just fans on Twitter, when you're coming up with all your fake trades for the Grizzlies, what generally came up was, I don't see any team out there giving a first-round pick straight up for Tyreke Evans. So for them to come to this trade deadline day and be like, well, we're demanding a first-round pick, and to do that, to try to play hardball after they'd sent him home for a week, when any mock draft that, like, a random podcast such as mine, like, when we did, like, a mock trade thing, it's like, no, I wouldn't. If I'm the Wizards, I'm not trading you a first-round pick. If I'm the Celtics, I'm not giving you my first-round pick. It's just crazy to me that the Grizzlies front office doesn't exist in the world that everyone else watching the NBA exists, where we're like, yeah, 2 second-round picks is a great haul for Tyreke Evans. Like, we actually hit lightning in the bottle once. We signed, we got a great signing for our team. The season went terribly, and now we can trade the signing in for future assets. And then to choose not to do it is just mind-boggling. And so I'm really upset with the Grizzlies. I can't even. What's the best case scenario? I can't understand the best case scenario that's being pitched to me is that Tyreke signs for the full mid-level exception next year. Like, that's best case scenario is we have the same team as this year plus, like, a draft pick. Like, we can't sign anyone new. We are not trading in our lightning in the bottle for future assets. We're saying this however many months, this 3 months of Tyreke Evans that has never been before seen in his entire career, we're hoping that will continue for years past this, is the best case scenario of choosing not to move him. I am apoplectic. Not in a good mood.
But he loves Memphis, Keith. He loves Memphis. everybody who loves Memphis, Keith.
Oh, it's such a, it's, you know, there's so much character. The people, blue collar. A week ago, because I feel like it took so long for a lot of Grizzlies people to get on board with tanking, like fans, people who write about it, you know, like write about the Grizzlies, to finally understand, like, guys, we all want the Grizzlies to do good. We want them to keep winning, but we've already put in like this many months of pain. Our season is lost. We have this lifeline of a draft pick that can reinvigorate the franchise for years to come. It can be the bridge to the post Mike and Mark Grizzlies. And so I felt like everyone had finally gotten on board with, like, yes, actually losing is good. Maybe you don't want to call it tanking, but this is the draft pick we have to get this year. And the rest of this season should be about seeing who's going to be on the roster going forward and maximizing the assets. Like, trading away James Ennis for a second round pick, that's great. I was super happy about it. Like, you know, we never really gave James Ennis a full role, a full-time role. Cool, let's get a second-round pick for him. And, like, that combined with them sitting down Tyreke Evans a week ago, I'd finally gotten my hopes up. Like, this front office that has made so many terrible draft picks and terrible free agent signings seems to get it. Like, they know, all right, we have to recoup whatever we can from this season. And to go from that a week ago, being like, yes, they get it, we'll be okay, to having trade deadline pass and be like, you know what? Let's just not have anything. I can't wrap my brain around it. I can't accept whatever argument is going to be, you know, come up with from the Grizzlies in the next few days to explain why they did it. I can't imagine what it would be that would make me feel any better.
There was a certain chat room that we were in today, and the trade deadline passed, and they announced that the Grizzlies had held on to Tyreke Evans. And everybody who is in there who is not a Grizzlies fan go, Memphis, why did you do that?
You can say it was the fast break breakfast listener Patreon
fast,
Slack chat.
We're in the Patreon only Slack chat.
Yeah. No, somewhere, but I don't,
so Brandon is very on brand. Brandon's on brand. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that.
Brandon is one of our newest Patreon
supporters. As well as should be. It's a tremendous
if.
Can it's
you
very
guys
good.
See any difference? And I know all you guys through the internet. Like, I like all your opinions. Like, I read your stuff, and I'm like, you know, I agree with these guys. Can you see any difference to if the Grizzlies had just been a random 18-36 team, which is the record, and if they had traded 2 second-round picks to get Tyreek Evans today. Like, is there any difference to just hanging on to him? Because to me, it seems like we lost 2 second-round picks today to acquire Tyreek Evans, if that makes sense. Like, is there any difference?
Not really.
I mean, no, in principle, it's basically the same.
Yeah. So what team in the world, you know, 18 games under 500 with no hopes of making the playoffs, would trade away 2 first-round picks to get a journeyman bench scorer for the rest of the season? And you wouldn't even have bird rights. It is the most confounding player personnel decision. I don't know. I mean, I heard the Unk earlier, and he said something that was incredibly true. The Grizzlies are a laughingstock. They are a laughingstock among other NBA writers. They're a laughingstock among other NBA fans. The David Fizdale firing, like, kind of raised the flags of everyone, like, oh, this franchise is in shambles. The Chandler Parsons signing, as excited as I was for that, like, maybe this would work out. NBA writers around the country laughed at it at the time, and it got worse and worse and worse. And now this entire sequence of events, it's just such a horrible look. Not knowing who's making front office decisions, like Chris Wallace is always there, like the whole buy-sell thing with the franchise, it makes me really sad. Like, I've been a day, like, I live in Nashville, but I've been a day one Memphis Grizzlies fan, like, since the team got announced. Been going to games for however long it's been. And, like, again, I haven't been this mad since, I don't know, it's been years. It's like they're I don't know, they're screwing around kind of with, like, this franchise that I love. Like, I commit a lot of my time to covering the NBA, and I get excited about the Grizzlies, and I'm just now just frustrated, and I don't know. I'm in a dark spot. I don't know if you guys have any, Joe, you got any uplifting words?
You obviously didn't listen to the first 15 minutes of the podcast because you and I are brothers.
I did not.
It's okay. My point is, you would know we are brothers in darkness. There's no sunshine when Tyreek's not gone. He's here. And again, I can't stress enough, because sometimes you talk like this and people make it personal about the player. I don't know Tyreek Evans. He wouldn't know me from Adam. Maybe he's read one of my articles that I wrote about him, because the players and the organizations, they do read the blogs and listen to the podcast. They do. And maybe he would, Mullinex, I think I know that name. That would be the extent of that. I care a lot more about Tyreek Evans than Tyreek Evans cares about Joe Mullinex. It's not a personal thing. It's not personal at all. It's maximizing an asset. That's what fans really struggle with, and I think that sometimes can be the line between people like Keith, myself, you know, essentially everybody left on the line. Those of us that cover the team or follow the team, write about it, try to think of it in that way. And a fan, you know, we're kind of in between. You have to look at it as an asset. He is a businessman. That is essentially what all these NBA players are. They're almost independent contractors. You sign them for an extended period of time to do a duty for you, to do a service, and then they move on. And Tyreek Evans was one of those deals that the Memphis Grizzlies hit a home run on. They hit a home run. It was perfect. You got a guy fall into your lap. He has a career year because he's trying to, because he knows that this is probably his last shot. Somebody earlier mentioned about him being 28 in his physical prime. He wants to get paid. Good for him. Go with God. That's fantastic. But the Grizzlies are the ones left holding the bag now, because they can't afford Tyreek Evans. And that's what really sucks here. Keith, thank you so much for calling. Go ahead, Keith. Finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say, he's 28, also going on 33. I mean, he's had a long NBA career.
He's got
some
injury,
you know?
No, sure. Yeah, but, I mean, I'm looking at his page
history,
right now.
He's been in the league since he was a young guy. Like, he hadn't played over 60 games until, like, was a – he's played like 60 games total the last 3 years before this season. So something
that is
that
accurate.
Effect.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the idea that they're selling us 65. The best case scenario is we're keeping him for our full mid-level for the next 3 years. That's a nightmare decision. Like, that is a nightmare, I don't know, scenario. And again, he's played great. Like, I wish nothing but the best, you know, it seems like the bridge would be burned with him. I don't know what the situation is. I almost wonder if he would refuse to play. Like, he has the upper hand. He probably thought he was going to a playoff team. But
Fear the Sword tweeted anyway. That out earlier today. They said they would sit out like it's a bowl game. That's exactly what they said. And I don't
know. Oh, 100%.
Like an NFL prospect waiting to go to the draft. Why play
yeah,
these
I wrote
games?
That.
I wrote that too. I said he should, the Grizzlies don't deserve him. He should sit, he should stay at home, and he should make them buy him out so he can go. Like, the thing about it is that he expected to play for a playoff team. And yeah, if you don't think, if somebody doesn't think that that has value and that that would make him a lot of money this offseason, go look at Solomon Hill's contract.
Absolutely.
So yeah, Solomon Hill is a Dante Cunningham who played in the playoffs. they're the same player with massively different contracts.
Oh my God,
oh,
this is not
helping
me at all.
Cunningham
but it was
has
one...
to take that L.
But it's been awesome talking with you, Keith. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll have to do the favor and make you be a guest on the show again sometime soon.
Thanks for letting me.
Oh no, you're more than welcome anytime. Thank you, Keith. Oh gosh, Brandon, that's your boy Keith.
Keith is a good guy. The Fast Break Breakfasters are definitely guys worth following on Twitter and you know, getting involved with. They're hilarious.
Yeah, they're pretty solid at Fast Break Break. I agree. One of the better NBA podcasts and good guys, and they do a good job kind of in Nashville spreading the Memphis Grizzlies gospel. We have one more call. Mac and Matt, thank you guys for hanging out with us here. I know it's been a little bit different of a show, but it's been a little bit different of a day, and I'm glad so many folks have called to voice their stuff. Last call here, another 901-er. You're on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Who are we talking to?
This is Chase L.
Oh, Chase L. You have been a tremendous
gentleman.
New commenter at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. I've really enjoyed your posts.
Well, I haven't enjoyed anything you guys have been saying. I like real fans. So while I'm waiting to find a podcast full of those, I just decided to tune into you guys.
Oh, geez. Chase L., you're giving us a really hard time, Chase L. What do you think about the events of today?
Oh, no, they were all terrible. I haven't been able to listen to the show. I assume everyone's just really mad.
We're all pretty mad, Chase L. What would you have done differently?
Just traded Tyreek for whatever anyone was going to offer. I'm sure that, like, there's probably nothing I can say that hasn't already been said. I did check back into Twitter today and saw everything that I mostly agree with. I'm just kind of trying to come to grips with, like, this whole I'm just, like, a fan of the Kings now. I don't know that I don't know that that's any more true right now than it was before, but it's just one of those things where it's – how do you get to that decision if you're not just entirely inept? I'm not sure. So I'm preparing myself.
Oh, Chase, obviously, Chase Lucas, formerly of You Like Hoops and in other places, at least I'm guessing. It'll be awkward if it's not, but I'm pretty sure it is. But you've resurfaced the past couple of days. You've been away, Chase. What do you think of the Grizzlies overall at this stage in the season?
I've watched way too much of it. Yeah, I got on there today, and I was just scrolling through Twitter, and it just kind of got awkward that I'm, like, well, pretending like I'm not on there, just obsessing over the deadline. But, you know, I mean, I just basically let Chris Harrington tell me what to think, just like the rest of the fan base. I don't know about you guys.
Amazing.
So whatever he's been saying, that's mostly what I agree with.
Oh, gosh. Do you guys have anything for Chase? That's awesome.
I was just going
to I DM'd that to somebody the other day. I DM'd them that I didn't know what to think because Harrington hadn't told me yet.
Well, you know, luckily, check in tomorrow, the 901 at 1001, and I'll give you all of my opinions. You can hear my opinions right there. And to plug another show, guys. But it was awesome talking with you gentlemen, and God bless.
God bless
Chase.
Chase,
come
Lucas.
Back to Twitter.
Yeah, Chase, you need to stick around, Chase.
Tell me when MeTweet comes back, then I'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
shout out to MeTweet.
Gone.
MeTweet gone and Dunlow gone. I know, RIP. All right, goodness gracious.
Later, guys.
This has been probably the worst and best episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live in the history of the podcast. I feel like we've done some good things and we've done some terrible things. On the Block Talk Radio airwaves tonight. Let's bring Mac Trammell back in. Some final thoughts here on the trade deadline and what the heck this means for the Grizzlies moving forward, Mac.
that's like an unanswerable question, which has kind of been like the problem, I think, with the team and front office for a while now, is that there doesn't seem to be any sort of direction or planned future for this franchise. It did look like finally they were going to trade Tyreek and they're going to commit to, you know, if not a full rebuild, then like a halfway one. But that's obviously now out the window. So I have no idea what to expect anymore. I mean, in terms of on court, if they keep Tyreek Evans, they'll probably win too many games and fall outside of a decent lottery pick. And if they waive him, then they could be a top five pick, which I think, I mean, I'm not Einstein saying this, but that would be hugely important, depending on whatever path you think the team is going to take this year. But I guess my biggest takeaway from all today is that just all of this malfeasance basically seems to stem from this battle with the ownership. Like, I don't think anything progressive can get done until that is resolved. And after that's resolved, then you can start cleaning house or do whatever it is that you need to do to get this ineptitude out of the franchise. But it really, and I don't know if you guys agree or not, but it really feels like the specter of the ownership question played a huge part in what happened today.
I agree 100%. I think that's a massive piece of this, and that obviously, Matt, what would bring us back to the idea of them not being willing to take on long-term salary. That was reported multiple places. Zach Lowe, other national guys, saying the Grizzlies just weren't willing to take back money that could potentially be long-term. That has to connect to the ownership questions that hover over this organization. Right, Matt?
It's just so stupid. We root for one of the dumb teams. That's just, I mean, in all seriousness, like, I don't know. I hate to try to read the tea leaves as far as like how much ownership impacted. So I'll just say that there's any number of reasons why they would think that they would not want to take on long-term salary, but it cost them a first round pick. And that was a poor decision.
It was a poor decision. I think that's a great way to kind of summarize the entire day. Mac Trammell at Mac_TR. Hold on. I don't want to mess this up. Dang it. Let's bring this back up. There we go. Yeah.
You want me to plug it for myself?
No, I think I can get it. I like to test myself, Mac. At Mac_TRAMMELL. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. He's a great writer for us over at grizzlybearblues.com. And make sure you're checking out Matt Hardlicka's Patreon page. Matt, you've done a great job writing over there. I've told you before, I miss you over at GBB, but you do remarkable work. I know you're doing good stuff with charity through your page, and I'm a subscriber. I'll stay one, and I appreciate both of you guys coming on the show.
Thanks, Joe. Talk to you later. Great to be back.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
you guys.
Thanks, appreciate it a lot.
There they go. That's Mac Trammell and Matt Hardlicka. They stuck out for the long run there, and I appreciate that. Thanks to both of those gentlemen. Again, Mac writes for us at GBB, does a tremendous job. And then we've got Matt Hardlicka, who used to write with us. He's one of the best out there. Make sure you're subscribing to his page if you don't already do so. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live for this week. I am one of your hosts, Joe Molinax. I'm closing it out here with Brandon Connor, co-host extraordinaire. And Brandon, we'll be back on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves on February 15th. We'll preview the All-Star break, kind of talk about what the heck these Grizzlies look like in the post-not-trading Tyreek era, or the post-debacle that was today. What are some final thoughts on your end? And I'll tie that all together with this. The question of the day today, excuse me, was what do you think is going to happen next between now and Sunday, the next time the Grizzlies play? And thanks to the over 120 folks who voted, half of the folks that voted, 55%, over half, said that the Grizzlies should still buy him out before Sunday. And 45% said play him and hope he stays. But to me, what that poll shows, they're not going to buy him out. Chris Wallace has set up a media availability for Friday morning. He's going to explain that they think that they can keep Tyreek Evans. There's going to be a lot of spin that goes on with this. But I think that the fact remains that they misjudged the fan base. And I think Keith touched on this.
I think you finally had a vast majority of people on board with the idea that it's time to lose basketball games because that was in the best interest of the organization. And that has been a gross miscalculation by whoever is calling the shots in that front office, whether it's Wallace or anybody else. They don't get it. They missed it. They didn't have what it took, whether it was taking on the long-term money, and maybe that was because of an ownership thing, whether it was being so hard-pressed on a first-round pick. They missed the point, and that is going to cost this organization in the long run, in my opinion, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to go ahead and toot, you know, GBB's own horn here, because we kind of called them the new Kings earlier this season with the fire, after the firing of Fizdale. We were pretty much on board with saying that this franchise is dysfunctional, and so we were a little ahead of the curve, though. This has just really confirmed that now. I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't see how you can look at what they've done to this point and say, like, you have any confidence that they'll make the right decision. Like, why would Tyreek come back and play now? And then if he does come back and play, if he's good, then you're ruining your draft pick. And if he gets hurt, and then he probably doesn't want to sign for you for the mid-level because you didn't let him go to a contender at the trade deadline. So, like, completely ruined this from all sides. So I don't know what they're going to do, but it's probably the wrong decision either way. I'm really excited because I kind of want them to buy him out at this point just because, you know, might as well get some more laughs at the front office's expense while we can, right?
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. It's just been a complete and utter cluster, and they've butchered it from all angles. It'll be interesting to see what Wallace and the front office spin is moving forward, but it's just going to be tough. And it's good that we'll have at least another week in front of us when we come back on the 15th on a Thursday night and kind of try to preview the All-Star game. Obviously, Dylan Brooks playing in the Rising Stars Challenge. That'll be cool. So we'll talk about that and where Tyreek is at on our next episode. Thanks to Matt Hardlicka for calling in and being one of our great guests tonight. Thanks to Mac Trammell. Thanks to everybody who called in and shared the night with us, whether you were an Unk or a Keith or a Jesse or whoever you were. We appreciate you listening. Thanks to you for listening to this podcast as well, whether it was live on Blog Talk Radio or on an archive version of the podcast. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, following us on Twitter at GBB Live. We appreciate you. Thank you for making GBB your spot for the trade deadline. Continue to stick with us as the season grinds along. For Brandon Connor, I'm Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.